أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إذا السماء انشقت وأذنت لربها وحقت وإذا الأرض مدت وألقت ما فيها وتخلت وأذنت لربها وحقت يا أيها الإنسان إنك كادح إلى ربك كدحا فملاقيه فأما من أوتي كتابه بيمينه فسوف يحاسب حسابا يسيرا وينقلب إلى أهله مسرورا وأما من أوتي كتابه وراء ظهره فسوف يدعو ثبورا ويصلى سعيرا إنه كان في أهله مسرورا إنه ظن أن لن يحور بلى إن ربه كان به بصيرا صدق الله العظيم. This surah is called Suratul Inshiqaq. And Suratul Inshiqaq, like the previous surahs, Infitar and Takweer, it contains the message. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he informed us in the ahadith that all of these surahs are talking about a hardship that human beings will be facing. So Suratul Inshiqaq, like Infitar and Takweer, talks about the Day of Judgment and the facts that every human being will be facing in Akhirah. See, there are two things. One is our planning, which is hopes. Our ideas and all of those are just hopes. And the second is the reality. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not talk about hopes, He talks about reality, and we always plan about hopes. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, once he made a box type of things, a line on the ground, looks like a box, and he made a line inside the box. And then he made another line going out of that box far away. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the line inside the box is a human being. This box is the death of the human being. That's surrounding him from all around. And the long line going out of the box are the hopes of the human beings. Our hopes, our plannings are for the next 60, 70, 80 years. In fact, most of us will have retirement plans, and these retirement plans are planned in such a way that if we live another 20, 30 years after 65, so we should be able to survive in a good way. Forgetting that those hardships of the old age that we have to face, no matter what we do, we'll have to go through them. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith that there are two things that have no cure. Two things in this life has no way to skip them, and no cure and no medicine that will protect us against those things. Number one is the old age and all the hardship that the old age comes with, all the pains and As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran al-Kareem, so beautifully explains it in Quran al-Kareem, when he says that those who are given old age, they turn back to their childhood. That just as in childhood, person needs someone to help him use the bathroom, change the clothes, to feed the person. Everything, we need someone to help us. Same thing in the old age, the person needs all of these things to be done by someone else and needs help in every step of the life. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يُرَدُّ وَمِنْكُمْ مَنْ يُرَدُّ إِلَىٰ أَرْضَلِ الْعُمُرِ لِكَيْ لَا يَعْلَمَ مِنْ بَعْدِ عَلْمٍ شَيْئًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in another ayah that there are people who get so old that لَا يَعْلَمَ مِنْ بَعْدِ عَلْمٍ شَيْئًا, after knowing everything of this world, then finally he turns out not knowing anything again, and everything is erased from this person's mind. And that person who was respected throughout his life for so much knowledge, and big scientist, and a great physician, or very powerful lawyer, that person turns out to be nothing. In fact, people, those people who are hoping to get a couple of minutes to sit with these people, get some ideas, and they would pay them for it, now they are not even willing to get paid and sit with those people. They say, you know, he keeps on talking too much, and now he doesn't know what he's talking about. A person went to a doctor. He says, "Doctor, I have problem in my knees. I never had this problem in my life, but now I will always have pain in my knees." He said, "This is because of the old age." He said, "I can't even see properly." He said, "That's also because of the old age." "I can't even hear properly." He says, "That's also because of the old age." He says, "I can't even stand for a long time." He said, "That's also because of the old age. When I read something, my brain gets tired and I can't read even." He says, "That's also because of the old age." So this man got very upset, and now he started yelling at the doctor for 10-15 minutes. He's cursing at him and yelling at him. And when he finished cursing and yelling, doctor said, "This is also because of the old age. What you did just now, this is also, you did it because of the old age." And we all are going to the same direction. We might think that we are getting older. Our life is getting smaller. Our life is getting smaller. If we came with 60 years, 40 are gone, 50 are gone, our life is getting smaller. We have only 10-15 remaining. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these surahs is reminding us of facts that we will be facing in our lives. As far as our hopes, they can be millions and zillions. They are immaterial. And really, they are not even worth paying attention to them, because we never know which of these hopes will be fulfilled, and most of them we know will not be fulfilled. Sometime we may hear about some very wealthy people, and we feel, you know, if I had something of that type, then I won't have to work as hard as I have to do now, and then I will be really taking care of the masjid, I'll take care of all of these Islamic activities. Our hopes have no end to them. This is something endless. It continues going and flying in the air. But we better know our real situation, who we are, and where we are heading to. And these are the surahs that are reminding us of these facts. So going to the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انشَقَّتْ, when the heavens will split. In another ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَيَوْمَ تَشَقَّقُ السَّمَاءُ بِالْغَمَامِ وَنُزِّلَ الْمَلَائِكَةُ تَنْزِيلًا. A day will come that all the skies will split. They will break down. No more skies. and the heaven and this world, all will become one. وَنُزِّلَ الْمَلَائِكَةُ تَنْزِيلًا, and angels will keep on coming down, as if this world and that heaven is all the same thing. There is no barrier. Right now we see that as a different world, but then everything will become just like one, and this world will be just part of that heaven, and angels will be coming back and forth, and they are taking the human beings' lives, or they are coming with the rahmah, or wal'ayazu billah, with azab. So angels will be coming continuously. وَنُزِّلَ الْمَلَائِكَةُ تَنْزِيلًا, continuously angels will be coming down. So إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انشقت, when the heaven will split. وَأَذِنَتْ لِرَبِّهَا وَحُقَّتْ, what a beautiful verse. وَأَذِنَتْ لِرَبِّهَا, will listen to its Lord. The heaven will listen to its Lord. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so beautifully says, وَحُقَّتْ, and it must do so. Heaven must listen to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Has no way to escape from the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at another ayah of Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى إِلَى السَّمَاءِ وَهِيَ دُخَانٍ فَقَالَ لَهَا وَلِلْأَرْضِ اِتِيَا طَوْعًا أَوْ كَرْهًا قَالَتَا أَتَيْنَا طَائِعِينَ. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when I created the heaven and the earth, I said to the heaven and the earth, come to me, and you can come willingly, or I'll get you by force. So both of them said, Atayna ta'i'een, we come to you willingly, Ya Allah. So the heaven and earth, they said, we'll come to you willingly, Ya Allah. But the human being is rejecting to go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willingly. And human being is not, in spite of having all of this understanding and knowledge, is not obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the way the heaven is obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَذِنَتْ لِرَبِّهَا وَحُقَّتْ, it will listen to its Lord, and it must do so. It has to do that. There is no way that it can escape from that. It has to listen to the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِذَا الْأَرْضُ مُدَّتْ, and the earth will be stretched out. Mad, we know in Quran, one of the rules of Quran is mad. Mad means to make it long. Really, in Arabic language, مَدَّ يَمُدُّ means to stretch something. If you have a rubber band and you pull it from both sides, this is مَدَّ. مُدَّتْ, it will be stretched. How the earth will be stretched? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains in another ayah, وَإِنَّا لَجَاعِلُونَ مَا عَلَيْهَا صَعِيدًا جِرُزًا. Everything on the surface of this earth will be erased, and there will be nothing left. It will be just an open space. And everything will become just an open space, because all the human beings, from the time of Adam alayhi salatu wassalam up to the day of judgment, without missing a single soul, all the human beings will be gathered over there. Imagine, with that number of people. Today, if we have to go somewhere and we know the place will be crowded, what do we do before we go there? If you have your relatives, your family members, your friends with you, before getting into that crowd, we make sure we give every person the right direction. If you get lost, this is where we have to go. That's the number of the hotel. That's the number of the friend that we know over here in this town. And this is my cell phone. Make sure that you call me if you get lost, and keep on holding on me all the time. We have to stay together. Those people who have gone for Hajj, they have some of that experience, that you don't want to get lost over there. And you're afraid once you get lost, you may never make it back at your place, or it will be extremely difficult to make it back to your tent or to your hotel. And people keep all type of signs, okay, this light, this is a green light over here. So if I go in the other direction, I know that this is the light that I have to see and come to this light. And this is the name of this door of the haram. And whatsoever measures we take to prevent ourselves and our friends or our relatives from getting lost over there. And we all know that we will be getting into that big crowd. The crowd of people that will be there from the time of Adam alayhi salatu wassalam till the day of judgment. What type of crowd is that going to be? Just imagine. How can we make it in that crowd? And how we are going to protect ourselves from getting on a wrong track in that crowd? We want to go at a place where we know that we can meet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We want to choose the direction where we know that we can go and meet some of the Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in. Hold onto their hands and tell them, please keep us with you. How are we going to be able to do that if we leave their ways and we do not prepare for that day? The direction of that day is this book that we have, Quran al-Kareem. This book is the direction of that day. Subhanallah, we see ourselves before we have to go on a long journey, sitting for hours in front of the computer, trying to get the directions from the internet, making sure we get each and every turn right. And as we drive, we don't want to make any minor mistake and keep on looking at the map 1,000 times throughout our way. We will be looking at the map. And at each turn, we make sure that this is the right turn taking me to where I'm supposed to go. And in this life, we make so many turns without realizing that we are making a wrong turn. And many times, even after knowing that this is a wrong turn, we don't make a U-turn to go back on the right track. And we continue walking on the same track. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, therefore, in Quran al-Kareem, says again and again, وَمَا ظَلَمْنَاهُمْ وَلَكِنْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ. We have not wronged these people. We have not done anything wrong to these people. وَلَكِنْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ. They were doing wrong to themselves. And we can really think about it. Subhanallah, what's wrong with us? That if I know that I'm in the wrong direction and I'm on a wrong road, I will go down, I'll take the exit, make a U-turn and go back. I won't continue on that road. But here, I know that I'm doing something wrong, and still, I continue going on the same direction. And when people tell me that you're going in a wrong direction, you're supposed to make a U-turn, I get upset on these people. On the highway, someone tells me that you're making a wrong turn, you're going in a wrong direction, you're going east, you're supposed to go west, I'll be so thankful to that person, I'll thank him 100 times. And here, when someone shows us the right direction, we get upset. And we don't want to make the U-turn to go back on the right direction. Then what is Iman? What does Iman mean? What does faith mean? When I'm going on the road and driving on the highway, I have Iman, I have faith that this direction will take me to my place. And as soon as I know that I'm going in the wrong direction, now I know that I'm going in the wrong place. I don't belong to this place. Our Iman is telling us again and again that you are going in the wrong direction. You make sure you change your direction. And yet we continue on it. We don't want to turn around and go back on the same, on the right road, on the direction that we were supposed to follow. We are not willing to make that turn yet in our life. The turn is very easy. It's extremely easy turn. All it needs, our willingness. If we are willing to make that U-turn, the steering is in our hand. We can make it any time.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا الْأَرْضُ مُدَّتْ.
The earth will be stretched out. It will be totally stretched out, and stretched out simply telling us that it will be stretched, that this earth, the way it is now, with all of these mountains, and with its being rounded, and being so small the way it is not enough for that crowd. So we have to stretch the earth, get all the mountains, homes, castles, everything out of people's way, and still stretch the earth even further down and make it straight so all the people can fit on it, because the crowd will be larger than what the earth can take at this time. The crowd will be larger than that. And then the same crowd will be standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained this point to Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in, being so crowded and the earth getting stretched, and yet people will have room only, every person will have room only for a place where he can stand. And everyone wants to run out of that place because he's looking for something. Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in got word and they asked, Ya Rasulullah, if this is the situation, it will be extremely difficult for us to look for you, Ya Rasulullah. How can we find you? How can we find you there in that crowd, Ya Rasulullah? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, look for the direction of Hawdul Kawthar, the fountain of Kawthar. I'll be standing there. Try to get there. Try to get there. What does that mean? On that day, ask someone that, where is Hawdul Kawthar? I'm going there. I'm supposed to be over there at this time. No one will tell us the direction at that time. That direction, we need it today. We need to get that direction in our mind, in our computer today. And those are the deeds. Our deeds are that direction that will lead us on that day towards Hawdul Kawthar, towards the fountain of Kawthar, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be standing there. Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in said, Ya Rasulullah, okay, we'll look for the direction, we will find the direction inshaAllah. But now we have another concern. So many other people will come to you also. Majority of the ummah you have not seen yet, Ya Rasulullah. And those people who will come into the ummah after your death, they will come to you, and many others will come to you, and they will say, you know, we belong to your group. How would you know those people? How would you recognize and differentiate between your followers and those who are not your followers? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in, if a person has a horse with shining white face and shining white feet, and that horse is standing amongst many other, hundreds of other, thousands of other black horses, won't this person be able to recognize his horse out of all of those horses? Because the rest of the horses are all black. There are only some horses that only belong to him that have white face and feet, shining face and feet. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, my ummah will have shining face and feet, white face and feet, because of making the wudu for these prayers, for the salah. Because of this wudu, they will have shining face and feet. I'll recognize them through their faces and their feet. And feet means hands and feet. The faces, hands, and the feet of this ummah will be shining on that day because of wudu. And this is the reason Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in many ahadith stress on this point, that make sure you perfect your wudu and make it properly. Sometimes when you read the ahadith, you wonder that why so much stress on wudu? But here we can tell one of the reasons why there is so much stress on wudu. That the more they will shine, the quicker Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will recognize us out of the whole people.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا الْأَرْضُ مُدَّتْ.
The earth will be stretched out. And I was mentioning the hadith that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. What was the hadith that we were talking about? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed the ummah that on the day of judgment, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, either he will find us, he will recognize us, or we will recognize Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by having the direction of Hawd al-Kawthar. So Sahaba Rizwanullahi alayhi majma'in asked, Ya Rasulullah, and we were talking about this part of the hadith, they asked, Ya Rasulullah, how can we find you? And he said, come to me at Hawd al-Kawthar, at the fountain of Kawthar. This reminds me of a hadith. Once a person came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was serving, he spent some good time with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he loved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so he started serving him, staying with him and always helping him, doing his work. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would go to the masjid, he will stay in the masjid, wait for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As soon as he will come out of the masjid, so he will do every work that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has to do. If he is walking out of the masjid, he will carry his slippers for him and will put the slippers for him wherever, whenever he is entering into the house. He will pick up his slippers for him. Whenever he wants to make the wudu, he will bring the water for wudu for him. And everything, he won't allow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to do anything by himself. He would always be doing his work. One day, this sahabi said, in the night time, I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam leaving his home, and he wanted to go out to use the bathroom, and I was away because I always was thinking I don't want to miss any opportunity doing some work for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So then I left my home. I went behind Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and gave him the water for istinja and for making the wudu. He was so happy, and he said to me, ask for whatever you need. Whatever you would ask for, you would get it today. It came out of Allah's Prophet's mouth. Now, if we get that opportunity, that ask me for anything you need, whatever you would ask for, you'll get it. I'll think right away, my account, I have some difficulty there. And so many other things we might think of, that I need this for this, for my children, I need this for myself, I need this. That person said, Ya Rasulullah, I need one thing. Murafaqataka fil Jannah, to be with you in Jannah. This is what I need. Ya Rasulullah, I need to be with you in Jannah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you're asking for something too great and too big. Would you like something else? He said, no. If you want to give me something, then this is what I need. And if you don't give me this, then I don't need anything else. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, okay, you will get that inshallah, but I need you to do one thing then for me. What is that? A'inni ala nafsika bi kathrati sujood. Help me against your own nafs. Help me against your own desires. And how? By making a lot of nafil prayer. Make a lot of nafil prayers. Your heart will be hurt. Your feelings will be hurt. And shaitan will remind you of all the other work you have to do in your life. But if you really want to be with me in Jannah, then this is what you have to do. Is keep on doing the nawafil prayer as much as you can. Spend your maximum time in doing the nafil prayers. So I was saying that crowd, really we need to find ourselves and get the direction today for that day, because we all are going to be part of that crowd. And we will be stuck in that crowd. And the way to get out of that crowd is by doing the deeds today, good deeds, and following the ways. I will tell you this, that following the sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and not doing anything that brings the curse of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Extremely important not to do anything that brings the curse of Allah and the curse of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are so many ahadith that talk about people who are cursed by Allah, people who are cursed by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have to avoid those situations. Because God forbid, if the person is being cursed by Allah and cursed by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that day he won't be allowed to stand with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah won't allow him to go and stand there. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam won't allow him to stand with his companions over there. So this is the crowd that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about. وَإِذَا الْأَرْضُ مُدَّتْ. It will be stretched out, and then what? وَأَلْقَتْ مَا فِيهَا وَتَخَلَّتْ. It will throw out whatever it contains. أَلْقَتْ مَا فِيهَا. It will throw out whatever it contains. وَتَخَلَّتْ. It will become empty. What is it that the earth is going to throw out? It's going to throw all the human beings out. And it will also throw all the treasures out. People will look at that treasure and they will be cursing at themselves that why was I wasting my time for these things. وَأَلْقَتْ مَا فِيهَا وَتَخَلَّتْ. The earth will throw out everything, whatever it contains, وَتَخَلَّتْ, and it will become empty. وَأَذِنَتْ لِرَبِّهَا وَحُقَّتْ. And it will listen to its Lord, and it must do so. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the beginning of the surah tells us about the heaven. Same ayah, exact same ayah. وَأَذِنَتْ لِرَبِّهَا وَحُقَّتْ. Repeated two times in the same surah. One is for heaven, the second time for earth. That the heaven will listen to Allah, and it must do so. And the earth will listen to Allah, and it must do so. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O human being, with this reminder, and after realizing this fact, Ya ayyuhal insan, O human being, O man, Innaka kadihun ila rabbika kadhan famulaqih. Kadh. Kadh in Arabic language means to work hard for something. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّكَ كَادِحٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ. You are working very hard until you get to your Lord. You keep on working hard till you get to your Lord. فَمُلَاقِيهِ. Then you will see all of your work. Then you will be seeing all of your work over there. This life is a hard work. Once someone objected that people, there are people who keep on sweeping all the time. You don't see them working hard. I said that those people are working hard to get rest. The person who's sleeping all the time is working hard to get the rest. So that a hard work, he's working very hard to keep on sleeping all the time. And why is he sleeping all the time? To get the rest. So he works very hard to get the rest. Because this is not our nature to be in our bed all day and night. You have to really press yourself to remain in the bed. Ask the people in the hospital. Do they like it? Spending the time on those beds and not being able to walk out. Many of them, they may even start cursing at the doctors. Oh, he keeps me in here and I don't want to stay here. They can't help it. They have to keep him there. إِنَّكَ كَادِحٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ. You keep on working. And all the time we are doing something. Good or bad. and ila rabbik. Till we get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we keep on working. We keep on working. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in another ayah of Quran al-Kareem, وَأَنَّ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ الْمُنْتَحَىٰ. The end of everything is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever we do in this life, everything will end up to be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that's the end of everything, where we will see all of our deeds and everything we have done in this life.
إِنَّكَ كَادِحٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in another ayah, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدٍ.
We created human being in difficulty, in hardship. Human being from the beginning till the end, his life is a difficulty. The mother delivering the baby is a difficulty for the mother, a real hardship for the mother, and this is how we all came to this life. And then, at the same time, is a difficulty for the child who was born. Therefore, we come to this life crying, not smiling, because there is a difficulty there. And then every step there is a difficulty. But we have to take these difficulties of the life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us,
لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدٍ.
We created the human being in difficulties.
So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in this ayah, إِنَّكَ كَادِحٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ كَدْحًا فَمُلَاقِيهِ.
You will keep on working hard till you go back to your Lord. And then, this is the main point, فَمُلَاقِيهِ. You will see all of your deeds. All of our deeds will be presented over there. Which simply means, the hadith explains, everything that we see will be over there. Everything that we hear will be over there. Everything, every word we speak of will be over there. Everything we touch will be over there. Everything goes into our mouth, it will be presented over there. It will be written over there. What is it that we ate? Every step we took in our life will be over there. Every dress we put on in our life, it will be written in that book and it will be over there. And every single penny we ever earned in our life, it will be over there. And every single penny that we have spent in this life will be written over there. Now the judgment is of pennies. Today, if we know that these people are going to come and they will be doing the accounting of our company. I remember one of our very well-to-do brothers, one day he called me. He said, Imam, please make dua for me. When he called, I thought it must be something very special. Please make dua for me. I said, Inshallah, I'll make dua for you. But what happened? He's getting audited. He said, I'm getting audited and please make dua for me. And I'm sure he got out of it safe, and this is why he never called me again. He thought I might ask for my commission there. Imagine if we get audited in this life and we feel that we are in trouble and we might have ways that things wrong, that we have done wrong. How about once we get audited over there? For not dollars, for not thousands, for each and every penny, whatever, throughout our life. Here you get audited only for what you earn in this country and through this business. We're limited, and yet we are afraid of it. Over there, we will get audited for everything that we earned in our life, each and every penny that came into our life, and each and every penny that we ever spent in our life, and everything that we left behind us for our family members in our life. Everything will be asked about, and we will be questioned about. How are we going to escape that questioning? And Just think how many times we just take things. We know that this is not the right source of earning it. But we just go ahead and grab it. It's an opportunity for me. Let me just go and take it. We know that it's something that's haram. Allah says, don't do it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is calling upon us, oh my follower, don't do it. But here we are. We feel it's an opportunity. Let me do it. That day will be audited for all of us. And Allah will ask us, wasn't I calling you and shouting at you in my Quran, in my book, that don't do it? Wasn't my Prophet calling upon you, don't do it? Why did he do it? So each and everything we are doing in our life, and each and everything we earn and we spend in our life, will be judged for that. And after that judgment, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِ, whoever will be given his book in the right hand, فَسَوْفَ يُحَاسَبُ حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا, he will have a very light or very easy judgment. وَيَنْقَلِبُ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ مَسْرُورًا, and he will go back to his family joyfully and smiling happy. وَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ وَرَاءَ ظَهْرِهِ, as far as those who will have the wrong things in these books, and now the judgment is difficult for them, they will be given their books behind their backs. Why the book is given behind the back? According to Tafasir, Mufassireen rahimahumullah say that this person will be chained, and he will be chained in such a way that his hands will be tied behind his back from his neck side. It's not like they do it in this life behind the back from the bottom. It will be the hands will be put behind the neck, and they will be chained over there. And because the hand is chained behind the back at the neck, so he will be given his book behind his back. وَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ وَرَاءَ ظَهْرِ, as far as those who will be given their books behind their backs, فَسَوْفَ يَدْعُوا ثُبُورًا, he will be calling his own death. ثُبُور means destruction. He will be hoping, I wish if I die now, something will happen and I get killed. Something will kill me, take my life. وَيَدْعُوا ثُبُورًا, he will be calling his death, he will be calling his destruction. وَيَصْلَى سَعِيرًا, he won't die, he will be thrown in the hellfire. Sa'ir is the hellfire. إِنَّهُ كَانَ فِي أَهْلِهِ مَسْرُورًا, this ayah really scares. It's a scary ayah. When we look at our situations and situations of many others. إِنَّهُ كَانَ فِي أَهْلِهِ مَسْرُورًا, he was very happy. He used to be very happy in his own people. إِنَّهُ كَانَ فِي أَهْلِهِ مَسْرُورًا, he used to be very happy in his own people. Today, with all that we earn, we go back, we enjoy it. We know that we have done hundreds of haram, and we are enjoying sitting over there in that home with all of that earnings of haram, sitting with our family members, having a nice barbecue or whatever else we have, and having all the pleasures of the life. Look what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, a sign of a person who is going on a wrong direction, sign of a person who will be having a very difficult judgment in Akhirah, that إِنَّهُ كَانَ فِي أَهْلِهِ مَسْرُورًا, he used to be very happy in his own people, in his family, with his family. Look at the first person. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about two people. First person is مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِهِ, who will be given his book in his right hand. فَسَوْفَ يُحَاسَبُ حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about this person, he will have a very light judgment. وَيَنْقَلِبُ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ مَسْرُورًا. On that day, he will be very happy and he will go back to his family joyfully and enjoying and very happy. That day, he will be with his family and he will be happy. As far as the second person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the one who will be given the book in the left hand and behind his back, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّهُ كَانَ فِي أَهْلِهِ مَسْرُورًا. That person in this life was always happy, and he always used to be very happy with his family members, and he thought that whatever he's doing good and he doesn't need to do any better. And he doesn't really have to run to the masajid and follow Islam and learn Islam and keep on practicing deen. إِنَّهُ كَانَ فِي أَهْلِهِ مَسْرُورًا. He was very happy with his own family and with his own people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in another ayah of Quran al-Kareem, ayah that explains the situation, this difference of a kafir and a mu'min. The kafir is always enjoying in this life. He likes to look for more, he always looks for more and more entertainment, good time, fun. This is exactly what a kafir will always be looking for in this life. If we look at the system that's set up around us, this is exactly what it's set up about. The whole setup around us, this is what it's made out of. That see the games, well, they have really got all of us stuck with these games, that each person, irrespective of the age, that each person likes some of these games. Like to watch these games, even if we don't play it, we like to watch these games and spend hours watching the games and then keep on seeing the newspapers and running after these games. And that player was like this, this player was like this, and then we will sit with our comments about those games. And this is the entertainment. And then parks, trying to build parks, huge parks, nice parks, then having a nice yards around our homes. Everywhere we are looking for some entertainment. This is how they develop the TV shows. This is how they develop the programs. This is how they develop the news. This is how they develop the work and everything. It's developed in the same, under the same system, with the same understanding and thinking that we need maximum entertainment that's possible. This is why even holidays in this life means when these people, they have set the holidays in such a way, before holidays you start getting flyers that fly to Florida, go there, and you have coupons for going different places. It's all about entertainment. Have fun, enjoy your life. And then we'll show the pictures of people drinking, because this is something that they like to do, it forget about this world, too many hardships. Let's drink and forget about everything and just enjoy. This is exactly the kafir, the life of a kafir, and this is what a kafir always works for. I need a good time. I need a lot of fun in this life. But the situation of a Muslim is totally opposite. The Muslim is working hard for akhirah. And he's not looking for entertainment in this life. I don't really mean that we should never enjoy anything in this life and never relax, never give ourselves a good time. But we have to realize at the same time that our setup of the life should not be that. And it's not that we're always looking for these games and looking for these type of parks and whenever we have a free time. Isn't this really, this is the fact of our life, that this is what we normally do in this part of the world and everywhere around, that during the days that we work, working days, children out of the school, we are at work, and we have no time to learn Islam, study Islam, talk about Islam, go to the masjid. Now is the time for holidays. What do we do? What schedules do we make for holidays? We should go out for that picnic. We should go out in that park. We should go out over there. We should go for that game. I don't think in any of these holidays, part of our schedule is that, inshallah, that week, we will be spending the week in such a way that all five prayers will do them in jama'ah. We'll do all the prayers in the masjid. Every day, all of us will recite one juz of Quran in the house. And all of us will memorize some surahs and will read them to each other in the house. That week, we inshallah, we will be bringing some books about Islam and listen and read those books. Bring some tapes and listen to those tapes. That's not part of our planning. Why? Because exactly we are borrowing the system from people around us. And that's the system we are borrowing. Now just enjoy, have fun, get entertainment, and enjoy your life. And we forget that normally we make an excuse that, oh, children have to go to the school, this is why they can't come to the masjid, this is why they are not learning deen. You get amazed. You get amazed if you talk to many of those children who go to these public schools, how little they know about Islam. Not only children, amazing even sometimes talking to adults, that how little these people know about Islam. And it happened to me a lot, but even this, within these 3 days, about 3 days back, a person came and he asked me, "Your people have alim class?" I said, "Yes." "How many years is the alim class?" I said, 6 years. The alim course to become alim. He said, 6 years? Is there so much knowledge there?" I said to him, "In these 6 years, they do not become real alim. In these 6 years, we just teach them how to get to the right sources of deen and how to understand those sources of deen. If they continue after that, then they will really be able to gain the real knowledge and keep up with the knowledge. And if they won't continue, this person is not that he knows everything in 6 years. 6 years will just teach him the Arabic language, how to learn things from Quran and Hadith, what are the rules of understanding Quran and Hadith, what are some of the rules that scholars have driven from Quran and Hadith, how Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in practiced Quran and Hadith. This is what they would learn, and what are the main sources of our deen, how did those scholars write these books about Islam. With these things, they will get, in these 6 years, they will learn these things, and after that, they will have to go into the depth to get the real knowledge from Quran and Hadith." So it's deep. So this knowledge of deen is very vast knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this life for us to work hard for akhirah. So our life is not just to learn few things, learn that there are five things that are farz in Islam, five pillars of Islam, and we don't even know the details of the five pillars of Islam. We don't even know, forget about five pillars, we don't even know the details of one pillar of Islam. If we take Salah and we start making some questions about Salah, we will find out that many of our adults, not to talk about children, they are not even aware of the basic masail of Salah. And if it comes the time for any person to lead the salah, that person is so scared that I might make a mistake during my recitation. People will catch my mistake because he never worked hard enough on to correct his recitation and correct his pronunciation. Very basic thing. So, I was saying, this is the difference of a life. The life of a kafir, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains all of this in two words. This is the beauty of the hadith. This whole lecture that I gave to make the point clear Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam expressed the whole point in two words. Ad-dunya sijnul mu'min wa jannatul kafir. He says this life is a prison for a mu'min and is a jannah, is a paradise for a kafir. Let them get their paradise over here because they won't get it over there. And a mu'min should not be looking for all the fun in this life and having good time in this life because he's getting the jannah over there. That's the real time when he will enjoy it. So now, I was mentioning the ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us the difference. That kafir tries to enjoy in this life. Mu'min always tries to have the fear of Allah in this life. When we say taqwa, and have the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course, if the person really has that fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will not allow him, that fear of Allah will not allow him to have all of these entertainments and keep on enjoying this life and have fun in this life. Take the example of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Very beautiful example. After he became a Khalifa, once his wife said, "We did not have any sweet dish for a long time. For a long time we did not have any sweet dish. And now we feel like eating something sweet. So why don't you buy us something sweet?" He said, "You know, we don't have it. Of course, you know that my salary does not allow me to buy the sweet for you people." Who's talking now? Amirul Mu'mineen. Khalifatul Mu'mineen. The Khalifa of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The person who have armies taking over the Roman and Persian empires and defeating those Persian empire and the Roman empire, the superpower of the world. And his getting all the booty from the wars over there and distributing it to the poor people in the Medina. He's distributing millions with his own hands. People are having all type of food and sweet dishes and everything they need by getting the money from this man. And when his wife says, "We feel like eating a sweet dish. We did not have a sweet dish for a long time since we became a Khalifa." He says, "You know, my salary doesn't allow me to buy that." SubhanAllah. It makes us wonder that a person who's giving out so much, he can't keep some for himself. What's stopping him from doing that? But anyway, we know it. And we know that that's the better life. So his wife said, "What should we do now is, because we feel like eating a sweet dish, so what I'm going to do, every day I'll save some food. So by saving some food every day, which means eat less than what we normally eat. Every day we eat less than what we normally eat. So we'll save some food every day. We can use that food in some other days. For example, every week, 6 days a week, we will reduce the amount of food that we eat, and then 7th day, we will save the money of buying the food for that day. We will use the food that we have saved in the 6 days. And we'll continue doing that every week until we get some money that we are able to buy a sweet dish, something sweet that we can eat." He said, "That's fine if this is what you people want to do, and everyone can reduce the amount of food that is eating every day. Sure, I'm willing to help you guys in this. And I'll also reduce some amount of the food that I eat." So they all agreed to it. And they all went on diet now. For what? To save some money in order to buy a sweet dish. I don't really know how many weeks or months it might have taken them. And then one day his wife said, "Now I have saved enough. Here is the money. Take it. Go and buy some sweet dish for us." He goes out. End of the day, he comes back and the wife asks him, "Where is this sweet dish that you were going to buy for us?" You are going to buy some sweet for us. What is that sweet? He said, you know what happened was, when I left home, I was thinking throughout that time that if we were able to reduce the amount of food and still survive with eating that amount that we are eating in these days. So I thought then I'm really getting overpaid. And therefore I went and gave all of that money back to Baitul Mal, and I said to the person in charge of Baitul Mal that from now on reduce this much amount of my salary, because we were able to save that much every day of our from our food, so therefore we don't need this much. I was getting overpaid. Subhanallah. We talk about taqwa. We talk about piety. We don't really even have a clue what the real piety is. If we think about the situation, we will like it. We will admire Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, but I'm sure that will be the last step we will take in this direction, that let's just admire him and be done with it. But I can never think of doing something like this. So, this is the difference between the life of a mu'min and the life of a kafir. A mu'min has the fear of Allah. Now, look into the Quran al-Kareem. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about a kafir, he says in this ayah, إِنَّهُ كَانَ فِي أَهْلِهِ مَسْرُورًا. He used to be very happy with his own people. And about a mu'min, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, on the day of judgment, the people in the hellfire, they will be asking the people of Jannah, how come you people went into the Jannah? They will reply, قَالُوا إِنَّا كُنَّا قَبْلُ فِي أَهْلِنَا مُشْفِقِينَ. When we were back in the world, and we used to be with our families, فِي أَهْلِنَا, أَهْل means family. In our family, in our homes, إِنَّا كُنَّا قَبْلُ فِي أَهْلِنَا مُشْفِقِينَ. We always used to have the fear of Allah. We were always afraid of the punishment of Allah. So on one hand, the kafir is always enjoying and never thinks about Allah. On the other hand, a mu'min is always thinking about akhirah and about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and is afraid of the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In another ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَا النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. Whoever is afraid to stand before Allah, خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ, is afraid to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَنَهَا النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى, and controls himself from going after desires, فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى, then the Jannah is the destination. So the Jannah is destination for those who have the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this life. And وَالْعَيَازُ بِاللَّهِ, Jahannam is the destination of those, إِنَّهُ كَانَ فِي أَهْلِهِ مَسْرُورًا, those who are always happy in this life and they never think about akhirah. When they go back to their families, all they think about, enjoy, have fun and have a good time. إِنَّهُ ظَنَّ أَن لَّن يَحُور. He thought he will never come back to us. إِنَّهُ ظَنَّ أَن لَّن يَحُور. He thought he will never come back to us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, why not? بَلَا إِنَّ رَبَّهُ كَانَ بِهِ بَصِيرًا. His Lord has always been observing him and been seeing him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, nothing is hidden from me. Before you were born and until after you died, everything, I have it. I have seen it. It's recorded. Where can you run away? There is no way that you can escape. Here in these ayahs, going back, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that there are people who will have a light judgment. What does this light judgment mean? Aisha radiallahu anha says that I asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, what does light judgment mean? Because once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever will be judged will have no way to get out of it. No way to escape the punishment. So she said, Ya Rasulullah, what does now this mean? that person, people will have very light judgment. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّمَا ذَلِكَ الْعَرْضِ There will be just being presented before Allah, and Allah won't question anything. People will be called, and Allah will call their names, angels will call their names, that such and such person should come there now for the judgment. This person will go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell that person, I know you have done a lot of wrong things. Go to Jannah. Just keep on going. I won't even ask you about anything. That's hisab and yaseera. That's the light judgment. Because if Allah will ask any person, why did you do it? That's it. That's it. Then there is no way he will be out of that situation. No way for that person to get out of that situation, because there is no excuse whatsoever in the world that will allow us to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here I will tell you one thing very important that we need to keep in our mind all the times. Sometimes we give ourselves an excuse to do something wrong, which simply means we satisfy ourselves that I'm doing it because of this reason and I have no other way and I have to do it. What can I do? And is still Allah going to punish me for it? When I ask of Allah? What can I do then? We give ourselves an excuse. This is extremely dangerous situation. Because if we give ourselves an excuse and we find an excuse for ourselves, on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will prove to this person that your excuse was not valid, and therefore is going to ask him, why did you do it? Because he wants him to come up with that excuse and now tell him that this is not a valid excuse. God will help fire wa'ayyaz billah. But if we do something wrong without giving ourselves an excuse, we feel that I'm mistaken, I'm wrong, may Allah forgive me, and then we are doing something wrong, there is a big hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, okay, just go to Jannah, don't worry about these things. But as soon as we start giving ourselves excuses, and we try to find a way to make it halal, and something is forbidden by Allah, and is not allowed in the Sharia of Islam, we try to make it halal, then those situations are extremely dangerous. Because then, most probably this person will be questioned. And if any person is questioned, there is no way he can get out of that situation. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the judgment light for all of us. And in fact, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give all of us tawfiq to do the good deeds and give us the Jannah without any hisab, without any judgment. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide all of us to Surat al-Mustaqeem. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين